How many of you really enjoy Christmas? You like Christmas? It's probably a stupid question because that's like saying, do you like kids? You know, people that hate kids, what's wrong with them? I don't know. But anyway, Christmas, I mean, when God invaded our world, when the Son of God came and became one of us, wow. And just in keeping with most of the music that we've heard from Amy T. and Barnabas, I'd like to read one of the accounts in Matthew. If you have a Bible, turn to Matthew 1, verse 18. Matthew 1, 18, we'll read to the end of the chapter. We're going to talk about an interesting topic, I think, which is the ministry of sleeping. It's a strange topic for a message, but you'll see what I mean. All right, Matthew 1, verse 18, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. And he did not know her intimately till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Dear God, we thank you for this great, amazing story of your coming, that you so loved the world, Father, that you gave your only begotten Son, Lord, so that we would have a hero, a champion, a savior to rescue us from the pit, to bring us a new life. God, we're so grateful. We invite your Holy Spirit to speak to us tonight, Lord, in your precious name. Amen. So we see here that Joseph was asleep when the Lord kind of straightened out his thinking. He had a dream. And it was as he was sleeping that God spoke to him. Now, how many of you like to sleep? Yeah, how many like to sleep too much? Okay, it's kind of close to finals week for some people. And you know, sometimes during finals week, you don't sleep a lot because some people stay up really, really late. They're cramming. You know, they probably haven't studied all year so far. And then they're just really digging in. And so they don't get a lot of sleep. So once vacation comes, boy, you really need to sleep. But we see here that four times in chapters 1 and 2, it speaks of Joseph sleeping, and that God spoke to him while he was sleeping. First, there was this occasion that we just read where he was thinking about, wow, She's pregnant. We're not married. We haven't had relations. What's the deal? But I love her. I'm going to put her away privately. But you see, all along, it was God who planned the whole thing. Mary was obviously involved, but she didn't ask for this. God brought it about. And he was going to watch out for her. So this is an interesting encounter. But then the second time that it happened is that Joseph was also sleeping as it came time for her to be delivered. And then she had the baby. And God spoke to him in another dream and warned him that there was real danger. Because Herod knew that he was born in Bethlehem now. By this time, the Magi had come. So you got to get out of here. He told him in a dream in chapter 2. You got to get Jesus and you and Mary, go to Egypt. Because there was a prophecy that said he would call his son out of Egypt. So they fled to Egypt and they were protected. But then in another dream, when Herod had died, God spoke to Joseph again and said, okay, now you need to bring him back. And so he brings him back. He does exactly what God told him. And then as he comes back into Israel, he's going to settle perhaps down by Bethlehem, perhaps, even though they're both from Nazareth. But then God says no, because there's another bad guy. So you got to go up to Galilee. So they go to Nazareth, and that way Jesus would be called the Nazarene. That was another prophecy, because he would be called, according to Jeremiah and Isaiah, the branch. And Nazareth and Nazarene means the branch. He would be the Nazarene, the branch. The branch from the tree of David. And he would be this one that God had prophesied about through the prophets for so long. So four times it talks about him sleeping, and in every single one, Joseph was obedient, even though it was weird. I mean, think of these dreams. They're kind of weird, especially the first one. You know, it's like, wow, what a weird dream. Must have been something I ate. He didn't go, oh, I shouldn't have eaten that spicy falafel. I feel awful. And man, what kind of weird dream. He didn't make excuses and keep his anger about her being pregnant. No, he said, wow, what happened? And he believed God and he obeyed. Same thing when he took him out of Israel and protected him. Went down to Egypt so Herod and his army couldn't kill the Messiah. Let me just share this. It's not always easy to obey the Lord. But in obeying the Lord, you're going to be protected. It's when we get out of the place of trusting and obeying the Lord where we get ourselves in places where we hurt ourselves. And we hurt other people. So when the Lord clearly shows you something, particularly in his word, to either do or not to do, if we don't obey him, if we can't trust him, if we say, oh no, I'm going to do it my way, that's when people get hurt. Because God's commands are not a rigid sort of a, you know, killjoy thing to ruin your fun. No, his commands are there for our protection and to lead us into the best life. His best plan for us. And so it's such a great thing that Joseph decided, I'm going to trust him. Now, he heard these things through dreams that he had. And in those days, before the New Testament, that was much more common. Now, the Lord is still speaking in dreams in different quarters of the world, especially, for example, in the Muslim world. He's speaking to Muslims in dreams about how real Jesus is. Did you know that? Literally, thousands of Muslims are coming to the Lord through God speaking to them through dreams. And then they go to a Christian place and they tell what their dream was, and the Christians end up being able to lead them to the Lord. Tom Doyle has a book on it you should read. I forget the name of it, but it's just amazing. So God can still speak in this way, but he's given us now the New Testament, and there's just so much to obey the Lord. Now, Joseph sort of had a ministry of sleeping then. But it really was a ministry of resting. That God gave him his word to rest in by obeying it, by trusting it. So we're not called to have, you know, a ministry of sleeping all day and being lazy, right? But all of us are called to rest. And there's rest in obeying God. There's rest in trusting his promises. We live in a time when it's hard for some people to sleep. You know, some people can't sleep without drugs. Why? Because the world is filled with so much anxiety and so much pain and so much stress and so much distraction. Never have we had a generation with more distractions than we have now. But yet, the Bible still says, like David said in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down. Lie down in green pastures. He wants you to be able to rest. He wants you to be fed in his word. So sometimes you have to put your cell phone somewhere else. Because it's such a distraction, isn't it? I've got it right now. In fact, I'm getting a buzz right now. No, I'm not going to answer that. But there's always something else. Oh, I got to see this. And I think one of the things the Lord wants us to do sometimes is turn it off or set it aside and really let him help us lie down. And by lying down, I don't mean being lazy, but I mean reading his word. I know I actually read my Bible on my phone because there's so many versions. I love it. It offers so much. But I have to focus so I don't go to some other area and get distracted. He makes us lie down. He wants us to turn our focus towards him. And he leads us beside still waters. And that's where he restores your soul. When you're resting in his promises and when you're trusting and obeying his commands. Now, for Joseph and Mary, this was not easy. Because think about it. They're right in the middle of their engagement or betrothal. And Joseph finds out somehow she's pregnant. And it's like, whoa, maybe she was starting to show, right? I mean, she's been at Elizabeth, cousin Elizabeth, and then she comes back and, man, you've gained weight. What's up, you know? I don't know what, if that was it, or maybe Mary might have said, oh yeah, Joseph, an angel did appear to me, and yeah, he said some interesting things. I know it's hard to explain, but yes, I am pregnant, but it's not like you think. It's not another man. It's the Holy Spirit. You know, I mean, how do you explain that? I think very likely she didn't even try. Because she didn't get herself into that situation. God called her into that situation. And so what did she have to do? She had to trust that he would take care of her. And God did. You know, a lot of times we'll be in a situation where we feel maybe God leading us in a certain way, but the doors aren't opening or people aren't understanding who are important to us. And we think we have to explain and convince and just, you know, we get frustrated maybe and this and that. But listen, if God is guiding, then it's his job to work. And what do? We have to trust him and pray. Pray for people. Rather than getting frustrated, just say, Lord, please, work in their lives. You take care of this. You open the doors. For one thing, if he's leading you in a certain way, he'll open the doors. And you can trust him for that. And that can be a way of him confirming things. And God did, obviously, with Joseph. And it was a fantastic thing. All right, so trusting, obeying, resting. Now, one of the areas that I wanted to touch on where it's hard to rest is in the area of relationships. Relationships can be very difficult because, you know, a lot of you are at the age. Let me just ask right now, how many of you are married? Raise your hand. Okay, there's a few who are married, and the vast majority are not yet married. And so, you know, there's relationships and there's also, you know, what about romance and dating and kind of meeting and how does all that work? You know, in America, it's a little weird. It's a little hard. I was making fun earlier about arranged marriages and stuff, but it is kind of difficult sometimes. But it's not difficult for God. And that's an area where you can trust the Lord. You know, one of the cool things is that God really cares about your relational life. It was God who said in Genesis, he said, it is not good for a man to be alone. Now think of this. He had just created the world and all the various things in it. And at every stage of creation, he said, it is good. Right? He created light. That is good. He created the sky. Oh, look at the firmament. That is amazing. And he created the bodies of water. That is good. And then he created the land and he created the vegetation. That is so nice. I like that. Those palm trees are amazing. And those, you know, evergreen trees up in Washington State, they're so sweet. And he created the fish in the sea. He created the birds in the sky and he created the animals. Now, it was while he was creating the animals and he needed help in naming them. And so he gave man a job, right? He says, hey, Adam, come here. You know, he'd made Adam, he made the animals, but he needed someone to name the animals for him. And he says, hey, why don't you name these animals? Now, naming animals, wouldn't that have been fun? I mean, think about it. I don't know, but why did Adam call that big, bulky animal a hippopotamus? You know why? I don't know, but it seems right. I think he got that right. It was amazing. Or a weasel. You know, you have a pointed nose. You look really sneaky, you weasel. I don't know why he did that. Or, ooh, look at that long neck. That's a giraffe. You know, I don't know. I have no idea why he did that. Actually, naming things dear to you, it's a little dangerous. Like when you have children and you're going to name your child, it's fun kind of figuring out names with your spouse. But be careful who you tell the names to before they're born. You know, you might go, people will come up and they'll say, what are you going to name your baby when they're born? Well, I was thinking of calling him Wendell. And they go, No, don't do that. I knew a Wendell once. He was a murderer. And they always have an opinion, you know, it's just, and they're coming up with this and that. But for Adam, it was great. He just named the animals. But here's the deal. He noticed that all the animals came in pairs. And each one had a partner. Now, I'm not saying this is exactly how it happened, but he may have been thinking, where's my partner? Because it's right at that time when it says, God saw it's not good for a man to be alone. And maybe Adam was feeling that, being alone. And God said, I will create a helper suitable for him. Here's my point. God cares about every person. And he cares about you. And he cares about friendship. He cares about companionship. He cares about who you will marry. And I love how he did it with Adam. It says he caused a deep sleep. Cool things happen when you sleep. Caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And then he did a little operation. And I would like to share this. Before you get married, you need a little operation on your heart. Guys, there has to be some things fixed. He took out the rib and he made the woman. He brought her to the man. And this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. I will call her, whoa, man. So he was totally impressed. He thought, this is good. I like, good job, Lord. Amazing. So there was this beautiful thing that took place. But this operation that needs to happen, it's kind of painful. So that this person, you love them so much, you're willing to lay down your life and give up things. And a woman, too, needs to be transformed and helped. Because we're there to love and serve and give. So that happened, and it was the Lord providing. Now, God wants to provide for you and I. He has someone for you. It's not as easy as it sounds, though, is it? But what's our job? Well, we can trust him. We can rest. But rest does not mean passivity. You need to go to the right places, have the right friends, develop relationships like this. Like, this is a great place. It's an awesome place. You know, I was talking about the Bible college earlier, and it's known many times, Bible colleges are known for sort of finding spouses for Christians and such like that. I don't see anything wrong with that. That's a wonderful thing if God does it. It's not why you go necessarily. You go to seek God. You go to grow in the Lord and grow in ministry and this and that. Well, what better place? So going to the right places and finding the right people, if you go to the wrong places and you're looking in the wrong ways and you get hooked up and it's just such a mess and it's so painful. It just can ruin things so badly. But God wants to take care of that need. He will provide. He is faithful. I wanted to encourage you with that. I just feel like the Lord wants you to know that. He will take care of your needs. Yes, patience is required. In a minute, Amy and Dan are going to come out and do another song, and they're going to do a song called Patiently Wait. It's not really always all about relationships, but then Amy's going to give her testimony, and it might shock you. And it was in a pastor's home that all of this happened. And I've told you some of the ending. It's not an ending. It's the beginning of something wonderful and great, and it's going on. But there was a lot of pain and sorrow. There was difficulty. She'll be sharing about that. But learning to trust God, learning to go God's way, it's not easy. Because there's a lot of snares. There's a lot of things that get in the way. And so what I want to share with us is the ultimate rest comes from Jesus. Jesus is the one that you got to put all your stock in, that you will put your trust in. This is God's commandment, that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's ultimate command. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came, he was God being born as a human, a man, but he wasn't remaining the baby Jesus. He grew up the Son of God. And being the Son of God, the God-man, he was the perfect human being, the only one who's ever lived. And why was he born? He was actually born to die. You know, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, was the only one who came into this world for the purpose of dying. We were all created to live. But the truth is, because of our sin, we're all dying. So a Savior was needed to die as a substitute. One who had no sin, but could die for all of our sins and bear the penalty of all the wrongs that we have done. All the sins that we've committed and we still commit. And Jesus was willing to leave heaven and come down to earth and do that. Amen? Thank you, God. Do you know, as he was hanging on the cross, his love was so great. We can't even imagine how great it was. He was completing the work that God gave him to do. And the Bible says that he cried out at the end, "It is finished." And then it says he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And it's interesting that the Greek phrase there, bowing his head, literally means he rested his head on a pillow. And basically, he was resting in his heavenly Father. He had completed the work. And God was satisfied with his work. How do we know that? He raised him from the dead. That's why we know God accepted his sacrifice on our behalf. The Bible says he was delivered up to death for our transgressions, and he was raised for our justification. We know we're justified. How do you know you're right with God? God raised Jesus from the dead. And my faith is in him. If your faith, your trust, your only hope of salvation, your dependence, your reliance is on Jesus Christ, you are solid. Jesus rested in his finished work. God rested in his finished work. You can rest in his finished work. And that's where you find peace with God. You'll never have peace with yourself until you have peace with God. He wants to give you that peace. He wants to lift off of you your anxieties and your burdens. Some of you, you really need a committed relationship with Christ. And tonight's the night to do that. To really put all your trust and dependence on him, because he alone can restore you to God. And our relationship and our fellowship with God is the greatest thing we have. You know, my daughter Amy, she gave her life to Christ when she was 4 years old. And she had this wonderful relationship. But there's all these stumbling blocks that come too. And we all face them. But you know, when you've tasted that, and then you get sidetracked into something, wow. She's going to tell you the story. there's only one relationship that's worth everything. I mean, I love my wife, I love my children, I love my grandkids. I would do anything for them, but it all starts with God's love. It all starts with Jesus. I'm not perfect. I can't love people perfectly, but when he pours his love in, whew, that makes all the difference. So Amy's going to come and Dan in a moment, and she's going to share a bit. Let's give Amy a hand. She's going to share her testimony.
Thanks, Pop. What'd you say? What's up, girl? So just to continue on that path of resting and obeying, I think that that's the perfect combination that God gives us is rest along with obedience. And I truly believe, as with my own personal experience, that the only way that we can get rest is by obeying God, by surrendering, repenting, giving everything to the Lord, every sin issue, every distraction in order. God will give us rest. It's just guaranteed, even in the midst of hardship and pain. So I'm just going to share a brief part of my testimony. I hope it encourages you guys. So I grew up pastor's kid my whole life, grew up in the church. I was born on Easter. I gave my life to the Lord. I remember being baptized. I remember loving the church. It was my second home. Had a tender heart, I believe, towards the Lord. I started writing my own songs when I was like 7. Wrote my first song about Saul being converted into Paul, which is kind of a random subject for a 7-year-old. But I remember like writing the words on those big yellow, notebooks or pads of paper. And so I had a tender relationship towards the Lord at a young age. But I remember feeling that rebelliousness, that self. Just I had a strong self-will, a lot of pride as even a young woman, and feeling like I didn't want you to tell me what to do. I don't want, just because, you know, I'm around Christian people, Christian friends all the time, I don't want, you know, I want to choose for myself what to do. I want to pretty much, you know, lead my own life. Very strong-willed, stubborn. You know, and I got to a point in my life where, you know, you really wonder, you know, who am I? And you start having different desires, different thoughts coming into your mind. And for me, I grew up as a tomboy. I played a lot of sports. I was successful in sports at a young age. Had a strong relationship with my dad, probably more than my mom, I would say. And so I remember at a young age being tempted with same-sex attraction. And I remember when I first, in high school, I remember having feelings before high school, actually, but just kind of, you know, pushing them away, obviously being confused and not really knowing what to think, being an adolescent. And then going into high school, I remember I got into my first relationship with another girl. And I remember feeling like, obviously, because no one knew at the time, and I kept it a secret for a long time, this person that I was involved with was not a Christian. And I just remember feeling so not at peace, just torn by it. And as with any sort of sexual sin, I believe it's those things that you can feel a lot of shame about, things that you don't really know how to process in your mind, so you keep them a secret. And as you keep going through, participating in that, you just do it. It's kind of just like a whirlwind. You don't really process it. You're not, you know, honest about it at first a lot of times. And so I came to a point where I was just so not at rest at all in the Lord. And I had to tell somebody. And so I told my friend who was a strong Christian peer of mine, and she basically was praying for me and told me that she wanted to do more to help me. So she told her pastor friend, who in turn told my parents. So at the time, it was just a really hard situation. And so aside from that, I first want to stress the importance of honesty. At that time, I was really struggling, and I was not honest about it. I actually kept it a secret, kept it alive for a long time, and I just think that's the nature of sin. When you're doing something that you know, tears you away from the Lord, it in turn affects other parts of your life, and it's just kind of a domino effect and just continues to just take away that inner peace and that inner rest that God wants to give you. So going from there, you know, I struggled with homosexuality for about 8 to 10 years. I was eventually very honest about it, very open with my family, very open with friends, came to a point where, you know, I did question, you know, am I gay? God, did you create me this way? And had a lot of circle of friends that were in the lifestyle. And it was somewhere I felt very accepted, very loved. And at a point felt, you know, like I am confused. I think that I am this way. But I knew that it was that inner peace and rest and knowing that I wasn't obeying God, because deep inside my heart, I knew that God had something different for me, that he didn't have that for me. He wasn't pleased with that for me. I think it's a big issue right now in our world. And, you know, we've elevated sexuality to a place where it is a main part of our identity. And, you know, people who are in same-sex relationships, like I have multiple friends who are in very happy marriages, actually. It's extremely, I don't even know what to think now to this day. They're not Christians, but as a follower of the Lord, I just feel like this is an area that is, the area of sexuality in general is just slowly but surely stealing that rest that the Lord wants to give and taking, separating people from their relationship with God. Slowly but surely, it just happens. You just walk away from your faith because it doesn't line up with what God has for us. And that is what I feel personally. I know some people can disagree. That is what I feel personally, my own conviction in my own heart and my own life. And I believe that God cares so much about that area. He wants to reach that area so much in our culture, whether it be with, you know, homosexuality, you know, promiscuity, pornography, every sexual issue. He wants to redeem those issues in our life. And they have such holds on our heart that it's hard to know how to address them. Like it discourages me now. Like I've been, you know, married to my husband. By God's grace, he brought a man into my life. Some people will say, well, how did that happen? You know, do you still have same-sex attraction and all that? And I'm very honest. Like, I have very good boundaries. I have, I'm not in that circle all the time. I don't surround myself with places where I could be tempted in that way. Obviously, I have a very loving husband who I love. And, you know, the Lord provided that for me. But, you know, God wants to take that area of our lives, those strongholds that will separate us from him, and bring them back to himself, use them for his glory. Because truthfully, he does care about sexuality. It is not the most important thing. Jesus was a man on earth. He never participated in sexuality, and he was the greatest man who ever lived. Sexuality is not the God. It is not by whom our identity should be defined. But God wants to give us the desires of our heart in that way. And if we don't surrender that to him, we will do it in our own way. We are wholly in need of God in every area, physically, mentally, emotionally, and sexually. I had to come to a point where, was I willing to surrender that issue to believe that God was going to give me the desires of my heart? I had to come to a point and think, if I never get married, I have to be content with that, because the Lord takes, my life is for his glory, and my relationship with him is what's most important. That's what he wants the most. So am I going to put and surrender that issue into his hands? You can't halfway surrender. You can't say, Lord, you can have every area but this, because that could be the one area that completely takes you away from him. And that was the case for me. I could dabble in other things and still be like, oh, I feel good with the Lord. But for some reason, that issue is very deep-seated, and that's why it's such an issue today, I think, because it is part of who we are. It is such an integral part of who we are and what we want to be. And even in singleness, I wouldn't say being single is not bad. You know, I think that sometimes we think we elevate sexuality to we have to be in, you know, marriage is the ultimate goal. And even in the Christian circles, it's like, you know, being married is kind of the ultimate thing. God uses you in singleness sometimes way more than you do in marriage. Marriage is so much work. It's a distraction in and of itself. You know, I'd say there's times where it's more distracting than my iPhone, which is like, you know, in terms of really focusing on the Lord. So we need to use, you know, that freedom and that, if you're single right now and long for that, I know that God will probably give you that desire. But don't look down on, you know, being single or, you know, not being with someone. And if you are in something that you know is not from the Lord in your life, you know, surrender that to him tonight. Tonight is a perfect night for that. I remember for me, it was like a specific night where I knew that I had to walk away from this. In Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Only by God's grace is someone changed. If you're, I know for me, I pray for a lot of my friends, and you know, it's only by God's grace that someone's heart in this way is going to change. God doesn't change sexual desire. Sometimes that happens. It's immediate. You know, some people, you know, might be delivered from certain things, but only by God's grace of setting that aside and saying, I want to use my life for God's glory. Only God's Spirit can do that. Only by his grace can he change somebody's heart. Our loneliness and search for fulfillment of emotional and sexual desire can be found in the one who heals our broken hearts. And we have to recognize that we need him in that. That our way is not the best way. His way is the best. And I can wait. I can wait for him to give that to me in his time, in his will. Because he is the one who gives us the desire of our hearts. And though he may not deliver me from temptations, he always gives us a way to flee. He always gives us a way to walk away, to run away from that which we previously struggled with. I just think that God wants to redeem this area so, so much right now. I think it's I truly believe that the enemy is using it just to steal people away from the faith. I really do. I don't know what you guys think, but I just think that it's just a lie, you know, that we don't surrender this issue to the Lord and don't look to him to guide this area. In Psalm 40, verse 1, it said, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done, and they will be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. Let your life be a testimony of surrendering and obeying the Lord with your life. That is what people are going to see. That is what people are going to see and be amazed by, that God could do that, that God could redeem any area, any stronghold, anything that you is keeping you away from the Lord. He can perform miraculous acts in our life. If we just wait for him, call on him, he will hear us. He will lift us out of the mud and the mire and set our feet on solid ground. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for this night. I thank you for the opportunity to be here with all these students, young adults, probably our peers here, Lord. I pray for whatever's going on in anybody's life that is in here. If there's something they're really struggling with or an issue that they have yet to surrender to you, Lord, that they have yet to give up to you to choose to obey and walk with you in, Lord, I pray that you would just soften and just break our hearts to know that we need you in all of these areas, Lord, to not be afraid to surrender and be honest about these things, to tell you the desires of our heart, to whatever's holding us back, whether it be we've been in it too long, we haven't been honest about it. I just pray, God, that you would put that conviction on our heart, that you would bring us to a place where we can fully depend on you, that we can have freedom, we can have victory, we can have forgiveness in these things, God. I just really pray for that, Lord. You want us to be fully committed and resting in you, and I pray that these things, these areas of sin would not hold us back. In Jesus' name.
We've enjoyed sharing with you tonight. We're going to end with one song here. But this could be a time right now when you would say, the Lord is speaking to my heart, and I'm going to obey him. I'm going to put my trust in him. There are things that have gotten in the way. There are things that are even seeking to enslave me. Pornography is a big thing. It's enslaving people, especially the guys. But God breaks strongholds. But they must, and you must, we must surrender it to him. And God wants us to do that. When we will put our trust and our will turned over to him, like Jesus said, not my will, your will. I'm going to glorify you with my life. I'm not going to seek to save my life. I'm going to save it by turning it over to you. Such an amazing, liberating decision, and ultimately fulfilling decision. And that's the only way that the fulfillment that God alone can give will come. And we want to give you an opportunity to make that commitment. If you would like special prayer for that area, whatever it is, I don't know what it is. Might be something like Amy was talking about, something that's been mentioned tonight, or just something the Spirit is doing in your life. Maybe you don't even know this incredible God who loved you enough to give his life to save you. Whatever it is, now's the time. We'd love to pray with you. If you'd like prayer for him to free you and break the holds of sin on your life, why don't you just stand right now? Just stand and we'll pray for all of those that desire that. We would love to do that. If you feel the Lord tugging at your heart, I want to turn this over. I want to give myself over in this area. Just stand. Don't be afraid. And don't be ashamed. One of the beautiful things the Lord does is he removes shame. That's the joy. I love how Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me in this world, then I'll be ashamed of you. But if you're unashamed of me, I will be unashamed of you before my Father and the angels. So if you'd like prayer, please don't let anything stop you. Just stand and say, tonight's the night. I'm giving this over. I'm giving myself to my Savior, to be my Lord. Please stand. Thank you, God. Lord, we just praise and thank you for these who are standing, Lord. You know their hearts. You know their situation. We just give you praise for the work you're doing in their lives. We pray, God, that you'd assure them that your Spirit will fill them, break the bonds that are holding them, and empower them to will and to do of your good pleasure. Lord, I pray that you'll do that even now. Just overflow them, encourage them, give them your peace. Lord, just fill them with your Spirit, with your peace and your joy. Thank you, God. In that area of stronghold, Lord, we just ask, break that hold. Break that hold. And guide them, Lord, from this point, who they can share their story with, and bring it out of the darkness, out of secrecy, into the light. We pray for that. Just guide them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.